Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Thank you.
Greetings, friends and family of the DC Movie Universe. How's everybody doing? I'm Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
I'm Mike Kalinowski.
Hey, guys, it's good to be back. It's good to be with y'all. Had a real busy week. I've been busy.
You've been
making with the kids. The man versus child we've been shooting.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, all over the place.
Yeah, it's weird when he describes it like that.
Yeah, it was weird for a second.
What do you mean?
Busy with the kids.
Oh, with the kids. Oh, well, you know, the very talented prodigy chef children.
There we go. Much better.
Plus, my brother just got married last weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
No, not to you, to him.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll pass that on.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I apologize, I have to leave a little bit early today because I have to go be on ESPN2 Sports Nation. How's that for a twist, going from a geek podcast to Sports
like
Nation?
It's somewhere out like on Dodgeball, like the Ocho, ESPN The Ocho. It's
El Ocho.
Be honest, is
What's
it because
that?
You want to miss TV Time's theme song?
No. I'm not going to miss TV Time's theme song. I just, apparently, you know, I make the sausages and hot dogs for Doghouse restaurants, and apparently I have to go debate whether or not hot dogs are or are not sandwiches on ESPN2.
Mm.
Okay. I have a very strong opinion, but I don't know.
Listen, if you want to talk about what is and what is not a sandwich, it's not as easy as you think, because you come out and say yes or no, and then there's a whole rabbit hole to go down.
I'm going a hard no, but anyway, we have no time for that.
All right.
Ain't nobody got time for that today.
All right, what's going on with you guys?
Nothing. Painted my apartment yesterday, and it took me all day.
How's those fumes?
It's all right. I slept in it, so I'm here.
Okay.
I'm all right. But it's just one of those things. It's painting. You never think it's going to take that long, but it took, the one room took a good amount of the day.
You're doing the show in a sweatshirt.
It's not a sweatshirt. It's a hoodie.
There's something underneath that sweatshirt that I think was going to be revealed.
Very often, but I saw there was this line. I'm not going to sell it, but it's like Forbes magazine did this whole article on this company called American Giant.
Mm.
And I was like, $80 for a hooded sweatshirt. But it is the best thing I've ever owned, I think, the way it's made. Anyone that picks it up, they're like, holy crap, that's like a well-made sweatshirt. This is going to last me forever. I'm not a hoodie guy, but I had to buy this thing, and I'm sold. I bought a pair of sweatpants. I don't wear sweatpants ever.
I think you are a hoodie guy.
Wow. Hoodie and sweats?
Sweats now.
Did you just break up with your boyfriend? Are you eating ice cream on the couch?
Matt Murdock in the Daredevil series has the sweats and hoodie on the whole time. Okay. So I like to view more him, less George Costanza.
I'm thinking more Bridget Jones is the image I'm getting.
Yeah, it's either that one or the other, but I'm going the Matt Murdock route.
Roxy, you're wearing a cape.
My hoodie.
I am.
You got a cape on.
I'm wearing a cape, and I own the fact that I'm wearing a cape. I'm not going to say it's not a cape. I say you're in a sweatshirt. It's not a sweatshirt. It's a sweatshirt.
A
hoodie is a type of sweatshirt.
It's a hoodie.
I have a cape. I got it at Comic-Con when we were together, guys.
Oh, that's right. It's Superhero Girls.
DC Superhero Girls?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A hoodie is a sweatshirt if a hot dog is a sandwich. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, see?
Anyway, I think that that's a not valid argument, but we have no time, Adam.
We want to get to the news, and there is some things to talk about.
All right, what do we got?
Okay, so first up, Odeon Cinema reveals potential BVS plot synopsis. Little variation in that. Why don't you hit it, Roxy Stryer?
Well, I'm just a little confused on whether or not we should take this as valid at first, because they could have just made it up. They could have just said something.
I don't think they could have made
it up. I thought
it
was an international, like, I thought this was the international synopsis.
Like
it was a
press blurb?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's coming from DC.
Okay.
It's kind of their interpretation. Basically, they said, you know, this is the age-old story of Batman v Superman, who would win in a fight, and Lex kind of playing both sides. That was pretty much what it is. I'm going to try to pull it up.
That seems really generic.
Well, okay, we have
it. That seems very generic.
Well, basically, from what I remember from the synopsis, it says that, Bruce Wayne doesn't trust the alien that destroyed most of Metropolis, and Clark Kent doesn't trust a vigilante who takes out his own kind of justice,
mm-hmm.
and Lex Luthor manipulates both of them to his own...
A master chess player, if
exactly.
you will.
Exactly. So... let's take it as truth.
Okay.
If that's the case, then I say yes, that is Lex Luthor's superpower. That's why he's a super threat. I mean, he has to be able to manipulate both these guys.
These things are always so generic, and they do that on purpose to not give anything away. But they've got to sell something to the exhibitors and the people that are going to be putting the people in the seats. They need something, you know, on websites to sell tickets. Or this is coming up, and you know, like Fandango does that little blurb. And
sure.
That's what this is, I think.
Okay, I don't know if we put an item for it or have a picture, but I also just read today Jesse Eisenberg's comments on how, you know, how he approached the character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since we always like to talk about Jesse Eisenberg, is he or is he not a dick? Is he a great actor? Is he not? I know everybody in the chat role loves to chime in on that. We will say everybody on this show has always been pretty supportive of Jesse Eisenberg in the role.
In the role. 100%.
No, that's what I mean.
100%.
So it was pretty funny that he intimates that he looked to himself for inspiration, you know, for the role of Lex Luthor. But basically just saying, like, as an actor, it's always best to draw on yourself as opposed to saying, like, oh, what did Gene Hackman do with the role? And he was very polite about it.
That's a smart thing to do.
Right. He says, well, Gene Hackman's a great actor, but, you know, I don't have his face or his life experiences. But, I mean, I say, Gene Hackman also did a fair amount of schmacting for the role of Lex Luthor.
People love to talk about Superman and Chris Reeve movie, but they never forget all the, you know, the stuff that's not right with that movie.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, but I still love him because he's so great in the role.
It fits great for that movie.
And he refused to go bald, so in Superman 2, at the end of Superman 1 when they take him to prison, he pulls off a wig, and then he's got a bald cap on.
Great. Okay, you guys
know. He wasn't
going
to shave his mustache either at the time, because he had that giant mustache in the 70s, and he made this deal with Dick Donner. To, you know, Dick Donner's like, I'll shave my mustache if you shave yours for this film.
Okay.
And he didn't. And, you know, I think he faked it or something, or he ripped it off. Donner had a fake one that he ripped off, and Gene Hackman's like, my mustache is gone now.
Here's my thing about Jesse, going back to him a little bit. Again, you guys know I've had a little bit of an issue with him as a human, not in this role. I think he's great.
He probably has an issue with you as a human.
Probably, but I don't know him. Again, I don't know him. You guys, like, jump down my throat on it. I'm going to keep saying it every week because I'm going to stand by where I think that he seems like a little bit of a dick sometimes. He just seems that way.
Everyone's a little bit
of a dick. But this reminded me of, like, Matthew McConaughey's Oscar speech, which was like, like, I'm the best and I'm my biggest competition, and that whole weird thing that everybody else loved. And I was like, I think that is so weird. Who are you drawing from? Yourself? Okay, but don't you think you have any inspirations, like the greats before you or anything?
No,
just you, all
himself.
You. Okay.
I think he took, you guys are taking that the wrong way. And this is not acting soapbox or anything here, but it's just like, to go in and to imitate someone is a failure. You can't imitate, even if it's a famous person, you're pulling this and that. I got a little bit from Napoleon and his complex that he had and this and that. He has not lived that life, so he's just going off of hearsay. It's him, what he's experienced in life, you know. Being shunned, people look at him as dick. Well, he's like, you know, people think I'm a dick, I'm going to take that. I'm going to use it.
It's a good point, but I just looked at it more of like, if you ask a band what their inspirations are, it doesn't mean necessarily you're trying to imitate them.
Point.
It's just like where it comes from.
Fair point.
And yet, I've heard some musicians, I forget who it was, but there was a really popular African artist who claimed, like, he never listened to any music because he didn't want to be influenced by absolutely anything. Okay. And he is autonomous unto himself. So I know some artists do kind of feel like that. Another thing that Jesse Eisenberg said about the role, and he even admitted, okay, I know this is a little bit the cliche these days, but, you know, this character is the hero of his own story, which, again, that's kind of the log line for anybody playing a villain, but he said, look, that also works for me. That is the case. He's looking to himself, and he's trying to find what is right with Lex Luthor's argument in this film, and he's not trying to say, how can I be the most menacing? What does evil look like to me?
The villains, they always say it's like, you know, they always look at themselves as the hero. They don't look at themselves as a bad guy.
And what I like about this synopsis, going back to that, is like, Clark doesn't trust Bruce. There's an argument there. Bruce doesn't trust Clark.
Nope.
There's certainly an argument there. Lex doesn't trust either of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if both of them have had valid arguments, then Lex must have a valid argument as well. Now, what his motivations are and how he goes about achieving those are where we have conflict, and that is the source for all
kind of
great
a cool thing
drama.
You're saying going off that right there, thinking about it. Bruce Wayne, in general consensus, he's kind of like the one percenters. He's this white American guy, billionaire. So Lex Luthor, this one inversion, it's a kid that owns this company. He's kind of like the everyman.
Even though it's not even like
the old school Lex Luthor. I'm another billionaire, but I'm a good billionaire as opposed to Bruce Wayne and this and that. I'm looking out for you. So he's kind of like, no, he's of the people, like, hey, that's kind of a cool dynamic.
And yet, we know he's not a self-made billionaire because we know that he's a Lex Luthor Jr. and his father. So that kind of would have been an interesting approach too if he's like, hey, I didn't inherit any money. I'm not like, you know, like Bruce Wayne is like a legacy guy.
No, now he's doing what Donald Trump said. He's like, well, when I was younger, my father gave me a small loan of $1 million and I turned that into something
pocket
great.
Change.
So, you know, come on.
Donald Trump running for president is the most incredible instance of life imitating art to make the Superman film so great, because we all know, like, Lex Luthor becomes president in the comics, and Donald Trump is like this Lex Luthor. No, I just want to build a wall to keep everybody out. America. I mean, it is amazing what's going on. Like the press that Trump is giving this film without even trying is blowing my mind.
If Trump becomes president, do you think DC will take a page out of their book and try to just legitimately pull lines from him, like anything he says, throw that to Lex?
I think it just kind of, you know, it gets in there. It certainly does get in there.
Make America great again?
Yeah.
We're going to hear him say it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. I mean, listen, we're already drawing from real life. There's already a 9/11 allegory with the destruction of Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
That's just naturally there. When we see buildings fall in this modern era, we can't not go back to that. And that taps into our natural fears, and that makes the threat seem valid. And then that's, you know, again, it's legitimate to us. That's why we're going to care.
Right.
Why do I care? You know, we'll get it. Yeah. There's some more I want to say about that, too, but we're going to get to that when we get to another item of news. So let's talk about some Wonder Woman news.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of Wonder Woman news.
A lot of Wonder Woman news
came out this week. I mean, first of all, I'm not exactly sure what you guys' thoughts are on Nicole Kidman in general, but she's one of my favorite performers. I think she's brilliant, so I'd love to see her in anything.
Kalinowski's got an opinion,
got
I think.
Everything, so
I
how are you feeling?
I could take her. I could leave her. To me, she's Chase Meridian.
Where are you going
to
leave her?
I don't know. Side of the road.
He's going to leave Nicole Kidman.
Well, there was a
on the side of the road.
So you got Chase Meridian, which I loved her at the time. Is that
Batman Forever?
Yeah, but then you've also got the story. What was the one where the guy was peeing on her in the movie, Paperboy or something?
When was she getting peed on?
In the Paperboy. There's a movie called The Paperboy or something, and she was into that sexually. It was, you know, so.
What? Okay. Wait a second. You're blowing my mind. There's a Nicole Kidman golden shower film?
Is this like a sensuality, doggy style thing?
No, yeah, is that how she became impregnated?
It's called The Paperboy.
Can we get a fact check on that?
Please.
I've got a lack of internet, and I can't.
So I think she's a fantastic actress, but I take her or leave her. Doesn't, you know.
Eyes wide shut.
Yeah, she's. I don't go to the movies to see Nicole Kidman movies, but
what do you guys think about who she's going to be playing
Hippolyta.
In Wonder Woman?
Hippolyta.
By the way, every other podcast that I've heard where people mention Hippolyta.
Hippolyta.
I know it's Hippolyta, but every time I hear people talking about this news, and I'm like,
with my
Hippolyta.
Last name, I can't critique anyone that mispronounces stuff. So.
It's Hippolyta.
Although I will say that's what we would think, but. I could also see her being like some government person that's in charge of Steve Trevor.
Okay. So, what we know. So, the rumor is that she's a high-ranking Amazonian. If she's Hippolyta, is that Diana Prince's mother?
When we say no, we don't know.
Doing.
Okay.
We don't necessarily know no.
Okay. So, to tie it in with some of the other plot rumors, we're hearing that Cersei is being played by Eva Green and could be sort of the early undercard bout for Wonder Woman. And the rumors, and these are just rumors at this point, that Sean Bean playing Ares.
But now there's this thing that came out this morning saying that Ares and Cersei are teaming up to start World War III.
Basically.
To unlock this magical sword.
Person in the chat messing with us, Connor, saying Zac Efron's in it. I in the paper
Paperboy.
Oh, in the paper.
Zac Efron's in the Paperboy.
I am Ninja Panda. Oh, no.
It's Connor
Butte. See? Thank you.
Okay.
Zach,
I thought he was making
on...
a joke about Wonder Woman, which was going to be.
I love Nicole Kidman in The Hours, by the way.
Yeah, me too. It's my favorite of her movies.
I love that movie. With the Philip Glass music and all that stuff.
It's so good. That movie is incredible.
Yeah, and it's a prequel. They're saying.
The hours?
No. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. We're all over the place.
Because that's what they say. They're saying
the
if Batman
movie?
Versus Superman, the reason she's in it is okay. She's looking for the sword that Ares is after.
Going off of these latest plot rumors, there will be a lot of the film that takes place in World War One. Which makes sense, because now we're saying that Ares is a character driven by war. He grows stronger when war is happening.
His
powers sort of come into being when there's more conflict in the world.
Correct.
So, the present day of the film, which reportedly is still before Batman v Superman, follow me now.
Is
Ares trying to start World War III?
Okay.
So he can become the most powerful of the Olympian gods,
and to get the sword,
right,
to take them on.
So we're flashing back, and maybe we're seeing what happened between Wonder Woman and Ares in World War I, and we get the timelessness, but we do get the present day, which gives us Chris Pine as Steve Trevor in the present day.
Okay. Ballsy, DC. Ballsy.
Ballsy?
Because it's not a thing that they're doing different than Marvel. Marvel's never done this kind of thing.
No, and here's the thing. After Wonder Woman, the next one is Justice League.
Right.
So what this would mean, and then we're also hearing Suicide Squad is before Batman v Superman, which means in the chronology of the DC Extended Universe, Batman v Superman leads directly into Justice League.
Right.
Chronologically.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. As fans, we are, you know, what's canon, what's not canon, and chronology, we are so into it. But I think these movies will stand on their own for general movie audiences. But those of us that know the mythology are going to... I don't think, you know, people are going to concern if they're not fans of these, going to go, what's happening here? I think the movie will stand on its own as a standalone film. But for us, it's just going to weave this whole tapestry going back and forth.
Yeah. What is that? Sean Bean dies in every movie he has. Well, I mean, if he's Ares, I don't know how much he... I mean, they make him a god, so killing a god is really hard. Will Sean Bean die
in Ninja Panda, I did see that. Because he's talking... Charles Roven wrote this article. He was the big DC guy with the Batman films. They had this big talk about what the DC brain trust is.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And, you know, they don't agree on things, but they do agree. But there is this brain trust behind it that's kind of weaving, like we said, this tapestry.
And do we know who is at the heart of this tapestry? Like, who is the shot caller?
I read the Charles Roven thing really quickly. Nolan almost seemed like it for a while, but I think he's just kind of...
He's
going to have an executive producer credit on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Which is weird.
It's just...
It kind of makes me feel a little safer, though. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like that, though. That he has an EP credit on everything. It makes me feel a little safe.
It kind of makes me feel like Zack Snyder is like, damn it, like, when am I get to graduate? Like, I'm the one who's actually, like, weaving the tapestry.
Right. So after he makes his TDK, then he can frickin' graduate and be an EP on things. By the way, Douglas earlier said that Heroic Hollywood said World War II, not World War I.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
I hope World War I, just because we've seen World War II so many times. World War I is a period that we don't get to go to that much.
Yeah.
So just for difference and to separate it from Captain America, which it's going to be compared to a lot. Look, you have two kind of star-spangled heroes.
Yeah.
I would like to see it be World War One because those tanks look really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, what do you guys think? How does it sound? Like, if assuming all this is true, Sean Bean, Eva Green, Nicole Kidman, Chris Pine.
I think DC stacks the deck with their films. These movies, they're getting... Like, Marvel does this thing, and they can. They don't need to pay out big stars to do their movies. Though they will if they want to, but they don't need mega stars and to fan out the roster like DC is doing. They're shelling out the... Marvel is known for being cheap. They are synonymous for being cheap with their actors because they know when an actor does their movie, then they can name their own price after that for any other things. They'll get directors who are TV directors, but once you get a Marvel movie on your resume, so the director or the actor will take the hit financially. DC is just like, here you go, let's get everyone we want in these
movies. Well, they sort of need to without... They don't have the reputation yet.
And they've got the bank to do that.
And I don't even know if that's necessarily true right now because, yes, you just named some really big stars. But think about last week when we called Grammy and Grammy was like, we were listing off Suicide Squad people and she's like,
That's why you needed Will Smith in that movie.
Yeah, so we have one huge celebrity.
But Suicide Squad is not a Batman versus Superman. It's not a Justice League. It's their Ant-Man.
I think they're using their...
It's not their Ant-Man. I don't think it's quite their Ant-Man.
Suicide Squad, before this movie came out, no one knew who they were before Arrow.
I think it's more like their Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, similar to that.
Again, Guardians of the Galaxy, my favorite thing of all time when people were announcing the movie. The people that are so on the Marvel bandwagon. It was like, fucking Groot! Finally Groot! I was like,
yeah.
Groot hasn't even had a comic for 20 damn years. Don't tell me that.
And I've collected Galaxy, comics for 30 years. No, I didn't even know. I barely knew who Groot was.
And the people that were in the Guardians of the Galaxy, that cast in the movie, were not the characters in the comic book that were currently running. They were from like the 80s.
Yeah.
So people get so caught up because they're Marvel fans for 8-9 years.
No, I think
years.
It's that you trust a brand. And you know, I trust the brand of the Marvel films.
Right.
And I think that's why people
Absolutely.
Want to work with them.
I
think, Absolutely. But I do agree with Roxy a little bit because I feel like they're spending smart money getting, like, big names in these smaller roles. But Gal Gadot is still Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And that's not the big name. Because, so it's like Nicole Kidman doesn't need to be contracted for 8 films. And honestly, Nicole Kidman hasn't done
they're
a ton
doing
recently.
The smart thing. You hire, you know, the lesser known actress and surround her with these great talented actors.
Right.
Yeah.
So it bolsters it.
I think so. I think Eva Green is incredible.
Me too.
It's
love
what they do
Eva
on
Green.
The
I'm
Flash
obsessed
TV
with her.
Show.
What's that?
It's what they do in the Flash TV show with Jesse L. Martin and Victor Garber, these Broadway actors surrounding these, you know,
absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, it totally brings up the talent. And you know, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but on those shows, even more so on the TV shows where it's a little bit cheesier, it's a little bit hokier, there's less of a budget, the acting even counts more. When we talk about Arrow, one particular performance just like, I was just like, all right, this show is the best ever.
We're not going to be able to talk about it.
We will.
Okay.
We will.
Well, we will. We certainly will.
So let's talk a little Suicide Squad. We had some cool photos of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you guys they're easy to find. They were all Empire stuff. I don't know if
we apologize guys. We had a rush a little bit getting the show together today because I have to bail.
Because
so
you're such
I apologize.
You're such a celebrity. You're
I'm
such
happening.
A star.
I'm having my moment right now talking hot dogs in ESPN2.
Yeah.
But what I would even like to talk about is the David Ayer quote. You know, he loves taking these digs at Marvel, and he kind of said, like, you know, in these superhero films, we're used to, like, it all being about, like, aliens invading from Planet X, and we're not really invested in anything like this. But you take this film, which he refers to as Comic Book Movie 2.0, and it's about these isolated rejects from society and delving into their story. So it's not just a film about the bad guys, but you're going to see the sympathetic side of how those bad guys got in their current position and make us care about them. Then you have conflict. The reason we care about Game of Thrones every time they kill somebody off or Walking Dead is because we're invested enough. A death means nothing unless we care about the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what we're going to get from Suicide Squad, I'm excited. What do you guys think?
About the movie and about being
just about
excited?
Those quotes, just about the idea that it's going to delve into these characters and that's why we care about the conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. But then that is the whole story. We talked about we're going to get origin stories from all these people and how mm-hmm. we were excited about that. But
yeah.
I know that a lot of people would be bummed out about it. So I think that if we spend a lot of time, people are going to be pissed. If we spend no time, people are going to be pissed.
I don't think people know what they're going to be pissed about until the movie's delivered.
Here's a great example. If they go this way, and it is a Warner Brothers movie, the Ocean's 11 films.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean's 11, great movie. A cast of 11,
mm-hmm.
but we knew every character.
Yeah,
we
you get enough.
Their motivation.
Yeah.
We didn't have backstories, but we cared about every single character. We picked our favorites, who we liked more. No one really got a short shrift on that. I finally used that in a sentence. The short shrift.
Mm. Yeah, and much like how Roxy points out, like you were grooving with it.
I was,
and then you stopped, and then I was with you.
Yeah, I was with you.
It was like pointing out a segue.
That's like I got a little attention deficit disorder.
You did
okay,
short shrift.
You were talking about the quotes though, but I wanted to look at some of these pictures because every single picture that comes out of Cara Delevingne, I'm kind of confused about.
I'm not confused.
I don't understand. I don't really.
Just do anything for me.
I don't know.
The picture where she was in full body, it was doing it for me.
What, with the one with the underwear that she posted?
No, not that one. That one too. Oh. But when she was like with the makeup and everything.
Yeah.
So you're confused because you think,
why are you confused?
No, I just am confused about what they're going to end up doing with her character.
Mm-hmm.
Not confused in a bad way. Confused in like, I really
have
no idea.
The comic book character, she looks like she's dressed in a costume from Spirit Halloween. It's
yeah.
They gotta do something with it.
That's true.
I think what's interesting about the Enchantress character is that this is potentially going to introduce magic into this world.
Mm.
She's going to do what Constantine did for Arrow.
Which is exactly what we're going to do. We're not there yet. But also, where we all are also heading towards is the rumors about what the Batman solo film would be about and how this could potentially open up the possibility for magic in the world.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
You don't know about the Batman solo film?
No, there's all this talk about the Red Hood.
So are we on there? Are we segueing?
Are we going to it?
All right. Go ahead.
All right, we're moving on. So the Batman solo film, the rumors, again, fairly unsubstantiated. We don't know where they're coming from, but...
Well, it was from Joe Blow.
Okay, so people's Joe Blow, butthole. Which is, you know.
I like Joe Blow.
I like Joe Blow, too.
What did you say?
I said, like, people's butthole. That's where these are coming from.
Oh, okay. I thought you, Joe Blow.
Death in the Family. Death in the Family, Red Hood potentially being the inspiration for the Batman solo film, okay. Potentially directed by Affleck, Kalinowski, go.
Okay, here's the thing. We have not had Robin introduced in this universe, or in general, we have not had the traditional Robin. We've had the Dick Grayson, Batman Forever, older brother thing. We've not had the older Batman with the young 10, 12-year-old mm-hmm. kid, Robin, that I think that they will go this way if they're going to do a Robin. So to go to the second Robin and do Jason Todd, you're going to have Dick Grayson in there. Is he going to be Nightwing?
Mm-hmm.
I think people not. I'm not saying this negatively. I think they're putting too much credit into what DC is doing. You got to remember they're going to take it back to basics. I think.
So and you think this is too complicated? For
I
that.
Think this goes back. To, this goes back to this whole convoluted. He's Deathstroke.
Right.
The Joker is Jason.
Well, ignore
Todd.
All that noise. Like, ignore all that noise.
But I'm
Let's
just
look.
This comes from out of this. I think people are spitballing. And well, it's just too.
If you look
much.
At what we've seen of Robin so far,
okay.
Is certainly an important thing. We know Robin's important. We saw his costume in the trailer.
But we don't know. Everyone's
and
like,
we saw
Jason
a
Todd.
Note saying, you may let your family die. So the idea, so people are maybe taking that leap, die, family, death in the family, you know, a way to circle back around. So if we're introduced in Batman v Superman, I don't believe we're going to see a Robin. Maybe we'll see a Dick Grayson.
And who is what's her name? Jenna Malone.
Oh, we still don't know.
We don't know.
I still think it's going to be a Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think okay. we're going to play with the fact that Jim Gordon may or may not be alive
Fair
anymore. That's what I think. But, you know, could be a Robin. But assuming that Jason Todd is the dead Robin, to circle back around to that, then you're saying that this character has to be exposed potentially to the Lazarus Pit and then come back. And then we have to ask the audience to care about that. So is this going to be the same kind of film as we're hearing about Wonder Woman, that we're going to see the death in the family and sort of a flashback kind of thing? And then the current chronology also potentially pre-Justice League is going to be, or maybe it would be post-Justice League or post-Batman v Superman at that point, is going to be the Red Hood, Jason Todd.
I think Roz will be off limits for a while. Because they did it in the Nolan films, so to even bring up the Lazarus Pit and all that stuff, it's going to be okay. I think they'll stay away from that.
It's so focused on our TV universe right now.
Right,
too,
the Lazarus Pit bring people back. Yeah.
So then you'd be asking people, if you did the Red Hood, to accept that yes, we did this flashback in Batman v Superman. We know one of the biggest tragedies that I think made Batman retire. Was the death of Robin, which we'll get back to our debate about. But then you're asking him to say, like, oh, that death already didn't count, and now he's back like this, which I think would be kind of wonky.
I think that suit in the cave in Batman vs. Superman will be a nod where they talk about, you know, 20 years in Gotham. They are not going to deal with that. It is an Easter egg for the fans. It's going to be one of the reasons he's in semi-retirement. It's not going to be a through line in the movie.
Do you think that that was a dead Robin or no?
Oh, yeah, it's a dead Robin.
Okay,
suit.
Jason or Dick?
Think? I'll just go opposite everyone. I'm going to say it's Dick Grayson.
You think they killed Dick?
No, it's got to be Jason. I think it's got to be.
Are you
saying that to be difficult, or you really believe
it? I'm saying it to be difficult. Oh, okay. I just want to go away from what everyone else is saying it
listen,
is.
Listen, we don't know, and I love that we don't know. I love that we're just spitballing here.
I call bunk, though, on the prequels being a Red Hood storyline.
You call bunk?
Bunk. It's called...
I'll tell you this.
No.
Bunk. It's I also don't want it to be that. Because I think there's so many other great stories to tell.
Right. But again, like Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight. We've created a brand new character for the game called the Arkham Knight. No, you didn't. You called him the Red Hood, and you just renamed him.
Yeah.
This whole bullshit that Sefton Hill guy went and said, we've created a completely new character.
It was an excuse to make Batman Iron Man. A Batman Iron Man looking character.
But it was like, you did the Red Hood storyline. Just give us that from the beginning. So I'm still a little bummed out about that. So we've gone through that already in the video game with it's the Red Hood.
Yeah, this is
many
a total
other stories that they could tell, brand new stories. Don't rehash old stuff.
And there's a lot of villains that we haven't seen yet.
Clayface. Damn, do a Clayface and a man.
Personally, I think in this gritty, dark Warner Brothers universe, I think it is Jason Todd that's dead.
Okay.
And I think let's leave him dead for a while.
Yeah,
let that sit.
Let's simmer. Let's let it,
you know, and
bit.
And I would like to see Dick Grayson possibly out there in a future film, maybe if we decide to go there.
Why isn't Nightwing in this movie at all? Why is he not popping up?
Who says he doesn't?
Yeah, there have been a lot of rumors that
he doesn't. Who says he doesn't? You know, like maybe he's got, well, maybe when they have that confrontation, he's got potentially Diana Prince on his side.
That was the rumor. It was going to be Adam Driver.
He's my actual number one. I live for him.
Well, I think he's a little busy in another universe right now, so. I think that would be kind of cool. So, all right. So Kalinowski and I, not so plussed on the Red Hood Death in the Family rumor. What about you, Roxy? Do you want it to be true? Do you think it's true?
Yeah, I think that it might be true. I think that it would be interesting, but I also agree that we've seen Lazarus Pit time and time again, and I don't know how we're going to get around that. So
done pretty well, too. So
maybe they have something up their sleeve that I haven't thought of or that we haven't thought of, and that's their way of incorporating Red Hood, but I doubt it. I doubt it. So I'm kind of with you guys on the same page. What do you guys think about the new addition to Lego Batman? One of our films, we've found our Alfred.
Who is M?
He is M.
In James Bond films.
Oh, in the
James
Bond 007, films. Yeah.
Yes.
How do you say it? Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes.
Yes. I don't know.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes. Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes.
Do you guys know that this is a
Joe
true
Fiennes,
story about
Joseph
me?
Fiennes.
It makes me lose all credibility that I've never seen a single 007 movie.
Nice.
Not one.
Solid.
It's virgin. Not unheard
007
of.
007 virgin.
I will say this, not unheard of for women. Trust me, I've met a lot of girls that have never seen James Bond.
I'd like to start the bidding.
Because they look at it, they think it's, and it is old school, it's kind of misogynistic in the way he is.
Daniel Craig's even said this.
I really want to, but I don't even know how to start.
Ladies and gentlemen, fans of DC Movie News, I would like to start the bidding for Roxy Stryer's 007 virginity at $10,000.
You're selling my 007 virginity?
If you want to pop this sweet 007 cherry.
Oh, see what you did there?
Goldfinger.
Oh, thank you.
Steven, that was good.
You have.
Anyway.
That was great. Well, I mean, look, I was never actually a huge James Bond fan. I liked the Daniel Craig movies way more than I liked any of the other ones. Casino Royale, probably my favorite. Like the Skyfall. I'm hearing this one kind of falls a little bit in the middle. See Casino Royale. It stands on its own. It's freaking
Casino
great.
Casino Royale would be a really good one.
It's a Quantum of Solace. It's like
they're
it's
definitely
like, goes
films
on.
Of their time.
Yeah,
it's kind of become a thing now, though.
What's the thing? You don't want to see it?
Yeah, I don't know. I do, but I don't.
Yeah. I like you a little less now, I think.
So
I get that. I understand.
What do we think of Ray Fiennes as Alfred? I mean, sure. He's
He can speak with the accent. And,
yeah, he's got the accent. Right. He's, you know.
Sure, great.
I'm not into the Lego stuff. I like the games and the movies.
You didn't like the Lego movie?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool as hell to see Batman in it, and he was funny in it.
I played the Marvel Lego game. It's so much fun.
I just got that.
What's that?
$100,000.
$100,000.
Look above the $100,000.
Okay.
$500,000.
Okay, listen.
Diana
if you're going to pop Roxy's 007 cherry, what film is it going to be with? What do you want to take her down a dirty Sean Connery path, or are you going to get George Lazenby on her?
Well, you guys are
with some Roger Moore.
Oh, are you going to Roger Moore? What's that?
Thunderball.
If you're planning my 007 virginity, that's fine, but I know you have to get out of here, and it's almost
Okay, it's time for...
TVT. We're going to go back to the old one. Roxy Stryer's TV time.
She thinks that
the flesh is fine. DC Movie News, it's time to talk.
TV time! Yeah!
In case you're wondering where I get my musical inspiration from.
Okay, listen, I have to leave really fast, so I want to just spat out what I really want to talk about.
What
first of all,
about?
Preacher trailer.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
What do you think?
You were the one who was down on Preacher last week, right?
I wasn't down on it. It's just not my bag of tea.
You're not your bag of tea. So
hey,
you,
I
so
love
you
DC,
still,
but I don't love everything in it.
So would it be fair to say you're nonplussed about the trailer?
I thought it looked good. It was well shot, you know. Hey, cool.
Yep.
I'm in. I'm totally in. But I was in even before the trailer. I thought it looked great.
No, I'm so in.
I'm just in.
I've said this since we started doing the show. I think the best way to do comics on TV is like stick to these non-Fox, CBS, NBC networks, the cable networks, the FX, the AMC, the HBO. Okay. The
broadcast is hampered
10,
by the network.
12 episodes. Strong storytelling.
Yeah.
Great lighting. I mean, this is the way to do this movie. This is what I don't even want a preacher movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I want.
I just watched Daredevil again, like binge watched it over the past couple days, and it for like a third time, and it's just so well done. I'll take that over Ultron any day of the week.
And I will say this overall, I don't want you guys to hate me. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay.
But I'm getting a little bleary-eyed with all the DC stuff. I find like
the TV stuff?
The TV stuff. Watching Supergirl is a bit of a chore. I think two episodes into Supergirl, it's fine. I think Melissa Benoist is fine. I just think that it's just not for me. It's for a different audience. So I don't. I'm not like hating on it. Like I hate on Gotham. It's just I don't care.
I love that about DC because Marvel, if it's all connected. I love Marvel, but yeah. TV movie, it's all connected.
Yes.
DC, we've got this dark, gritty movie universe. Our TV shows are now going to be different. We've got Supergirl, Flash, kind of light and poppy.
Yeah.
Preacher. We've got, like you said right here, this DC superhero girls. They do a line for young girls. Like, I don't even know who's in that. I wouldn't even buy anything for that. But
exactly.
The girls have that. So DC,
you touch my cape.
It's going for everything. And I love that about DC.
You're so right. Kalinowski has a good point.
I love it.
Everything doesn't need to be for everyone.
No.
And I think that's the point.
I
agree with you.
Supergirl isn't really designed for you.
Exactly. And so I'm fine with it like that.
That being said, it is kind of designed for me and I don't love it either.
See,
okay.
Oh, but you do love iZombie though.
I love iZombie.
I want to start watching that because I keep hearing good things about it.
Thing.
So I'm gonna start it.
Not my thing.
I will say this though. Arrow, I'm usually a little bit bored by, and again, I think part
Arrow.
Of the reason
God.
Is that like it's too many episodes. But this past week's Arrow with Constantine,
was it only because Constantine was there, or you just like the episode?
I like the episode, but I really like the episode because of Constantine. Are you guys with me? How awesome is that guy? Is Constantine?
He is so good.
Although I will say,
I love him.
Someone on Twitter today was talking to us about it, and he mentioned Colin Farrell, and it never dawned on me. But I was like, oh my God, that would have been the perfect Constantine.
But is that true just because this other British guy has done it so well on TV that you can kind of go to the...
No, think back to Colin Farrell, back in like the mid-2000s when he was at the height of his career, when he'd be in interviews with the cigarette and the hair
and that
rocker attitude, I was like, fuck, that's Constantine.
Do you feel like the show wouldn't have been canceled if it was Colin Farrell?
That's a tough one.
That show was a tough
sell on a network. Again, if it was on AMC, I think they would have, and they could have pushed the boundaries.
I think that show was getting better just when it got canceled.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was in and out in the beginning. I always loved him, but I think they were really finding their footing. And I think I loved how they used the music on this episode. I loved how they used him. I loved how they brought magic into the Arrowverse.
We talked about this back before when Constantine was canceled. We kind of spitballed about it, bringing him onto Arrow. I think he's a perfect fit. I think they should make him not a series regular, but definitely a recurring character.
I don't know what they're going to do with him, but this character is certainly not dead. It was a great showing, and I love it. I love Flash this week. I got to go. Got to be on ESPN. Got to talk about hot dogs. Tag me out.
I want one. Yeah,
I was
going to
tag him into the spot.
Here's the big problem that I have. It's not even a problem with you leaving. You go.
Okay.
It's that Mike so desperately... Why did Mike so desperately just want to switch sides and leave me? I just don't really understand.
I'm on the adult side of the table.
Oh,
everybody just
so
became
tall,
really jealous of me.
Thanks,
there
Adam.
We go.
Oh,
is that better?
It was a really wet, It was a nice wet kiss from Adam Gertler. I appreciate it.
Am I tall enough here? Because he's a tall guy.
Well, look, you can see your shot.
Well, I don't want to
lower your chair.
I think I'm taller.
You're professional.
I'm shorter than you right now.
Yeah, but why were you so excited to get away from me?
How about right now?
No, now you're my height.
Okay.
Why were you so excited to move sides?
Because I always have to sit on that side. I like this side.
Yeah, but why don't you want to sit next to me? It's not a personal thing. Should I be taking it personally?
You play footsies under the table with me.
Yeah, well, now I have a better angle for it, so you know. Okay, I want to get more into TV time, though. Bye to Adam
Gertler.
It's
you and me.
Yeah, it is. It's a really big deal. I don't know if we've ever done a show just
Never.
The two of us. Oh, wow.
Oh,
leaving
boy.
Us alone in the room together.
I gotta take this off. It's getting hot here.
Okay, so he talked a little bit about his opinion on Constantine and Arrow, but I want to hear from you. You said you don't really like it. You're a little bored of it, or were you saying that you loved... Oh, he was bored of it.
He
You're
was
saying
bored
you
of it. I love it.
Week.
I love Arrow. I'm more of an Arrow than a Flash guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
no.
I'm in the minority. I know.
About Flash this week. Flash was way better. I just think that Arrow was great because Constantine was on it, but I have big problems with Arrow in general as a show. It slowed
right.
down
I have
for
big
me.
Problem. I don't have problems with Flash. I love Flash. They kind of lost me at the beginning a little bit when they finally get Henry Allen out, and he's like, I'm out!
Yeah.
And I was like, the writers know what they're doing, I know that, but even like Jesse L. Martin and Grant Gustin were interviewed like, I don't know why they did this
nobody
to
could
us.
Nobody really, I
So to me, he lost the character, and then they did that with Robbie Amell with Firestorm, and it's like, I'm out!
Yeah.
And he's out, and it's just like, gosh, there's something weird creatively going on with that show.
But at least we didn't lose Tom Cavanaugh. He's back.
Right. And,
they
never said that, you know. He was always going to be around.
Yeah. But he came back, and now we're calling him Harry, which I'm having a little bit of a hard time doing also.
I think the show's great. I love the cast. They're, charismatic as hell.
Cisco, man, that guy kills me every episode. He's so good.
Were
he's
you
so
excited
good.
About vibe stuff? Because I can't believe that. Course. Yeah, me too. You know, I don't want to give too many spoilers.
I love the show. I think it's Patty Smithett. We talked about her 2 weeks ago.
Completely obsessed with her.
I love her. She's amazing. Such a good actress too. It shows you on that show. It's a give or take with these superhero roles. Sometimes they get actors on there where they just don't click. Mm-hmm. And other times they just eat the hell out of the role, and she is so good on that show.
I feel like she could have clicked with anybody and anything. She seems fantastic. But one of the pieces of news for Flash this week is that Grodd is coming back. So we always kind of predicted that was happening, but it's coming sooner than later. I think it's within the next few episodes, which is really, really cool for me. People were pissed about King Shark and how
he was there then gone. Like, you know, it's a budget. We wanted to throw a nod in there for the fans. And
yeah, but would you have rather spent more time with him and less time with Grodd? Because I have to assume they're around equal pricing.
I don't know.
You don't care about Grodd. Or you don't care about King Shark.
They're cool. I like them. I'm not a villain guy. I know fans turn in for the villains and they love the villains. But like with Batman, for me, you could do a whole movie with not any villains and it's just him versus the mob. And I'll love it. I go for the heroes. I love the Flash.
Because you're not a villain guy, it's probably why you have the biggest problem with Gotham, which we have a
very good point. It could be why Suicide Squad, I'm excited for it, but it's not like my to-do. Like, there's certain people, like, they love Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And other people like me, I can't stand it. I don't like anti-heroes. I don't like villains.
I know. I love the heroes. I saw that Facebook post of yours about Deadpool. You're all anti-Deadpool.
It wasn't anti-Deadpool. I just said it's a movie made for frat boys. And I was a frat boy in college, so I could say
it's made for you.
So many years ago, yes, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like, I love the hero. I love the stories of them doing good. So, you know, whoever the villain shows up, they show up and cool. There's not one villain for Flash where I'm like, yes, I've got to see this villain on Flash. He's got to show up sometime.
Okay, but what about Gotham? We do have Riddler and a lot of stuff's been going on over there. Corey Michael Smith teased a little bit about the green suit this week. Does that excite you?
No. Gotham, it's just Court of Owls. I know they're talking about it. But
I know. You've been pitching it a while.
Because it plays with the mythology and it doesn't shoehorn it in. That's what Gotham to me is shoehorning, like, this Gallivant character that, you know, they've created. And it's just like, all right, well, where is he going to eventually end up? Is he going to be Batman's arch-nemesis his whole life? And it's just like,
Seems like that's where we're going.
The production value on that show is phenomenal. I love the actors. And a lot of people don't like Mackenzie as Gordon. I think he's great. I think he's great. But him and Bullock, that's the story. That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not these villains.
I could see what you're saying. But some of this casting news actually gets me really excited. Like Tommy Flanagan, who comes over from Sons of Anarchy.
He's got like the scars in his face. Yes.
So he's over on Sons of Anarchy. Then he was on Revenge, which are two of the shows that I love. I think he's so great as the Knife, which is a character that I don't really know.
I don't think it's a character. I think it's a made-up character. I know Batman, and I don't know of a character called the Knife. I saw that, and I was like...
So why are they messing with us, then?
Because we've got Victor Freeze coming in. Okay, we just cast Nora Freeze. And now we're going to cast the Knife. And I'm like, okay, you know, so...
It's a fish all over again kind of thing, where we just throw somebody in there?
I guess. I met someone online was talking about how much they love Fish Mooney. I was like, what?
Nobody talked about it when she was there. Once she was gone, everybody was like...
Probably because she added a dynamic to the show that's not there now, and it's missing something.
I don't know if that's what's missing, though.
Okay.
I think...
You know, speaking of rumors, isn't people saying, like, the Penguin now on that show is really the Joker? Do you hear that rumor?
No.
Come on. Someone out there, you've got to be with me. That was this big thing. I was like, enough with the, like, pulling these ridiculous rumors out of the way.
So not Jerome. Did you guys in the chat hear that? The Penguin is Joker?
That was these fan theories.
What happened this week?
It's been going on. It's like, and they pointed out because of this and this, and I'm just like, oh, my head hurts. Jerome's dead, isn't he? Like, I thought
Jerome's dead, but remember he dies with the smile and it's like, it'll affect Gotham forever.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
Yeah, that was, and you just mentioned Nora Freeze, which is Kristen Hager was cast, which I'm a little indifferent about. Yeah. B.D. Wong is playing Hugo Strange on Gotham.
When he was announced, I was kind of like, I don't see it. You know, I want to be colorblind and stereotype blind on it, because I was just like, he just doesn't look like it. But then I was like, well, I saw a picture of him and he had this kind of squinty smile, and I was like, well, shave his head, give him those mutton chops into the beard with the glasses, and I was like, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
As long as they go that way, because it's Gotham and they might not. They'll probably give him glasses. They won't give him he'll have hair. He might have a little bit of a form of some beard going on, because they never fully go the way of the character.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of like, and Hugo Strange, it's like, okay, so what is he going to be, 60 when Batman finally arrives? And he's supposed to, Hugo Strange always wanted to emulate Batman and be Batman, but he was physically not right for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole story with the Monster Man, of him creating these super soldiers to kind of give himself, you know, genetic abilities that he didn't have that Bruce Wayne had. So
maybe
can't
this
do that now.
This could be the wrong way to look at it, but I liked him as a performer in Jurassic World. I haven't seen him in anything else. I think that he's talented enough.
I just
zoned
you out right now.
Why? Because you don't like Jurassic World?
I didn't like the movie, but he was terrible in the movie.
I thought that he was really good.
Oh, how in the first one he's talking about science, creating science, and then suddenly in this one he's a mad scientist, like, yes, create everything, and I did this, and keep the samples, and we're going to leave here and create more dinosaurs.
You didn't enjoy his character.
180 arc of him.
His character.
Like, as an actor, he should have been like, I didn't.
You think that he could have controlled that? You think he could have gone
with Steven Spielberg? No, but with Colin Trevorrow, a little more input he probably could have had. Say, hey, everyone in that movie was like, the doctor's like, I can fly a helicopter, and he's like, that movie sucked.
His
initial
performance, I don't even remember. I don't think the movie sucked. I think it was really fun to watch. It's not as good if you watch it a second time.
That is definitely you and I, our age difference, and where we see different movies. And younger generation love Jurassic World.
Jurassic World sucked.
Thank you. People of my age that saw the original in the theater and were like, my God, when that first dinosaur, and the sound, this is like, it was phenomenal. So it is definitely a generational thing.
By comparison, Jurassic World
is a generational thing for movies.
So is part of the reason you're not excited to see him in Gotham because you didn't appreciate
his performance? I think he's a good actor.
Oh, but you just said that you thought he
in that movie. Certain actors are great in some movies, are terrible in others. Okay. That's just give or take.
But he doesn't look like the character to you, so you don't.
He didn't originally, and then my head is like, wait a minute. So they put it side by side, and I was like, wait a second.
Are you doing the thing where you're like covering the top of his head with your hand?
Well, I can do that. I'm a pretty smart person, and I can do that with just looking at it.
Okay. My last...
That was the fakest laugh I've ever heard of.
No, I just think
that's like that Justin Bieber moment. Is like, when he was with that interview, he was like, I like that laugh.
No, I think you are a very smart person, but I think visually I would have to do that. I'm a pretty smart person too, and I would have to kind of chop the head off a little bit.
The lazy eye there.
Were you winking at me?
No, you were doing like, you're like, all right.
That's what I have to do. You have to kind of squint one eye.
Well, I didn't have to do that.
All right, well then you're smarter than
I am. Are you the kind of person that's to draw, like, Ben Affleck cast? I'm like, I don't know what he looks like. Let me draw a cowl on this magazine here.
On Ben Affleck?
Yeah, did you do that?
No.
Okay.
Why do you think that I did that?
I don't know.
No, I would be honest about it. So we talked briefly about Supergirl, but everybody wants us to discuss it. I saw it earlier in the chat.
Let's discuss.
Were you watching earlier? Did you watch the two? Have you seen the two episodes so far?
Yeah, yeah. I saw this article today. I forgot where it was on this morning. They're talking about the one thing Supergirl does right that Man of Steel didn't do. I'm like, okay, let's read this.
All right, what was the...
She wants to be Supergirl. This and that. That Man of Steel didn't have that. It's like, oh, that... It's not the point of Man of Steel, and that's why it's they're saying that this Supergirl does right what Christopher Reeve's Superman did, and that he wants to be Superman. It's like, in this movie universe that they've created, Superman from the comics, because of the way it was created in the 30s and 40s, you know, everyone assumes Superman puts on the suit and he just wants to be Superman. Well, in that instance, yes, but their story, you know, and if Superman was alive today, would this guy want to instantly go out and put clothes on and help people? And this movie answers that, saying maybe not. Maybe, you know, and it's his journey to find that. But Supergirl's like, she wants to be Supergirl. She wants to have fun with it. It's like, okay, great.
And you don't think that was the answer? It's just a different solution.
It's a different solution. Yeah. It's a different... They could have done the whole, I don't know what I could do, but we've seen it before, and Superman's doing it. You can't have two people like that on the air at the same time, because, you know... As general, most people, they are separate entities, but the general public doesn't know that, so...
If you're trying to put your finger on why you don't like this show as much as an Arrow or as much as a Flash, what would you say
I don't resonate with the character.
Okay.
And that is exactly why Arrow, I pick over Flash. I resonate more with Oliver Queen, Stephen Amell, than I do Grant Gustin. We're similar in age, Stephen Amell and I, and it's... I like the darker stuff. I just... His... You know, I'm not a science guy. I'm not more of a brainy type guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gravitate to that. It's what... And like Supergirl, I can't relate to anyone. Jimmy Olsen, African-American. I don't relate to that. All the casting I've seen, Max Lord, that's the one that I would... Character I gravitate towards. But he's kind of like pseudo-villain depending on what you go with it. So it always depends on what I watch and what I like is what I gravitate. You're a young girl. I mean, Supergirl is...
That's the problem, though. I'm not really...
So why is that? What are they missing?
That's why I asked you, because I try to figure it out. I don't know whether it's just that I feel like something is missing with whether it is a Superman thing or I don't think the show is bad. I think it is cute. I just haven't been excited to turn it on, which is when you know. Like Flash, I can't wait.
Let's say this.
I can't wait.
I love the fact, because I grew up with the 90s Flash show,
mm-hmm.
which I still love now when I watch it again. But to see that we're getting these level of special effects and these level of character and love for these characters on the screen, we live in this fantastic time. With all these shows, and it's a variety. It's, you know, someone loves something, someone loves, you know, I don't know of anyone that loves everything. And that's, I think, why a lot of times I kind of, I don't bash on Marvel people, fans, but it just seems like anything Marvel
puts... You should look at his Facebook.
No, I don't. Trust me. But I just think everyone just loves Marvel. They're becoming Disneyites to me. And the way I say that, Disney, anytime Disney puts out Pixar, everyone's, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Disney, Pixar, yes, they can't do no wrong.
You didn't like Inside Out?
I didn't see it.
Mm.
It's not my thing. But then, this is a great example. They cast something on Doctor Strange. It was like Nicodemus West. And everyone's like, Nicodemus West! Yes! Oh my God! And it's like, who the hell is this character? I know the comics.
Why aren't they allowed to be fans of the character? Because you don't know the character?
Oh, you're telling me they know who that character is?
I don't
Absolutely
know who the character
not.
Is. They might. Because you know all
Doctor Strange hasn't even had a comic until recently in the past 10 years. But they're going apeshit. And it's not just like one person like, yes, finally this character that I love that's not getting any love in the comics is finally going to, you know, getting... No, it's just everyone. The internet blows up like, Nicodemus West. Oh my God, can't wait till they see who they cast as him. It's like, no, you're on the bandwagon. You're on the Disney bandwagon. And that's why they're called Disneyites. And now they're becoming Marvelites. And I won't become a DCite because not everything... That's me going, Supergirl, Jimmy Olsen... Yes, thank God. No, it's like, it's not for me. I'm not a DCite where everything that DC does, I'm going apeshit for because I've grew up with the comics and I have. It's who I resonate with and who I don't, you know. DC will make missteps along the way and I'll be, okay, they did.
They're like a child that you're not gonna reprimand.
No, why not? They're learning and it's not for everything. I think that's what's great. It's like going into Baskin Robbins. I don't have to like every flavor that comes out. But there are people that do, and they feel better about themselves by like Pixar, Marvel, or people with Pixar. My God, oh my God! But they'll never admit the Cars 2 sucked.
There's a difference between it not being your favorite flavor and it being a really bad sour tasting thing. And I
Supergirl's not a bad sour tasting thing at all.
And that's what I was gonna say. I think that Supergirl there absolutely is an audience for it. I thought that right. I was going to be that audience. For some reason, I'm not. I don't know if you guys at home feel the same way. If you're in my boat, but
I have a friend coming on the show. On Supergirl, he's playing Helgramite. He wasn't on yet, was he? No, it's coming out. There's the preview. I don't want to confuse and I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
I have a friend that was cast on the show, so I will definitely tune in. Hopefully, he comes back
and pick his brain. Make him come in here, talk to us.
Sure, I'd love to. I'll talk to him. See
awesome. I'm okay.
Yeah, I think apples and oranges, different tea, different cups of tea for everyone.
And as we know, then your cup of tea is Arrow. That's fine.
No, absolutely,
and not Preacher. I'm
Although
gonna
season
that.
Three didn't really like it. Of Arrow.
Because of the Felicity stuff?
No, it was just all over the place.
Yeah.
Felicity, like, whatever, but the flashbacks were terrible. They didn't tie in well. Season 3 I didn't like. I think Ra's al Ghul was eventually,
it was my least favorite also.
Eventually cast better, but originally the way he was cast, the way they had his hair and everything, I was like, no, it looks like a guy at a bar. He eventually grew into, trust me.
Oh, I completely disagree with that.
You think that short little kind of wavy cut that he had, because he probably got cast, probably had to shoot within a month, and by the end he
and
had
they couldn't change his hair?
But they didn't. They could have, but they didn't. By the end, he grew out, and it grew out, and he had it longer with the gray, and I was like, okay, that's Ra's al Ghul right there.
Well, they listened to you guys. They listened to the
that's
fans.
That's right, they did.
I don't know why I said you guys to us guys.
Who knows, but it's season 3. Yeah, Arrow for me wasn't the best.
I completely agree. That's it for our TV time. I almost want to listen to the theme again. TV,
no,
TV,
we don't need to hear
TV,
it. Just the two of us.
TV. No, see, Adam would have chimed in. I'm missing me some Adam. And Johnny would have, too. By the way, Johnny
oh
will be
God.
Back.
There was someone that, one of the fans that took a screenshot of me when you were doing TV time one time. It's the worst picture of me I've ever seen.
What are you doing?
It's hysterical. I think I was like this.
Just head
But I'm hands. Like looking forward, not even looking at you. It's just like, oh my God. Terrible picture, but it's fantastic.
I don't know why they can put up with it and you can't.
TV time?
Yeah, I think secretly you like it. When you're that against something, you know. You gotta actually love it. But I was just saying, speaking of Johnny, he will be back with us. He's really sorry he couldn't make it. He's off doing
Johnny,
really cool
Johnny
things
boy.
With Whistle Sports. You guys can find him everywhere at
He's doing
Jay
something cool
Quasto.
With mashed potatoes right now.
With mashed potatoes?
Yeah, it's on his Twitter. He's doing, like...
He's making mashed potatoes?
No, there's a movie he was in recreating a scene with mashed potatoes. in it.
What do you mean recreating a scene?
He had a bowl of mashed potatoes in him in front of him. He's like, oh, if there's ever a need to do a scene from so-and-so movie and I forgot the movie, I can do it.
Is it Go on his Twitter.
Go on his Twitter. It's okay. On there. Go look
so
at him.
So if you want to learn all about mashed potatoes, go find him at Jay Quasto. Adam Gertler, you can find at Adam Gertler or on the FYI Network, Man vs. Child, or FX Movie Downloads. And obviously the first half of this episode, he's doing big things, running out of here, you know, leaving us behind.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Debating hot dogs and sandwiches.
Do you have an opinion yet? I made mine.
I don't think it's a sandwich.
I don't think it's a sandwich.
I mean, yes, because it's between two pieces of bread.
No.
And it's a meat. It's an encased meat.
I think that's what he's going to fight, too.
But it makes
Spoiler
a point.
Alert.
If the people say a sandwich has to be between two pieces of bread and a meat, then it's a sandwich.
It's not two pieces of bread. It's one.
Depending on how you do it. Sometimes people cut the whole bun and they sandwich it.
It could be an open-faced sandwich, technically.
Oh, see?
But that's it. It's not a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich. I'm completely in disagreement there. If you want to hear more about what Mike Kalinowski thinks about hot dogs.
It's the life of me going out of me right now. It's my soul.
Mike, where can they find you to hear more about your soul and hot dogs?
On Twitter, at MikeKalinowski.com. You want to hear about my hot dog? Is that what you're saying? My love of hot dogs?
I got it, Mike. I got it. Are you also there?
Can I hit that over the head any harder?
Wait till they get a load of me.
That's right.
Steven, you're killing it.
You're killing it today.
And you guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at DC Movies SK, DC Movie News. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all those different places. And next week, we will all be back, the four of us. I'm putting those vibes out there.
Will we?
Yeah, I'm going to put those vibes out there. We'll see if it happens.
The holidays are coming up. This is getting
okay. I need a little more positive attitude from you here at the end. Think about Arrow and smile as you sign off.
The dawn is coming.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll see you next week, guys. Bye,
guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.